You can be seated. Welcome to Grace Free Church. And this celebration, this party that we're having this morning, I'm sorry that the party's a little overcrowded. And if you're squeezed in, I hope everybody grabbed mints in the coffee area. Hopefully you're parked somewhere you can get out of. And we're continually making room here at Grace Free Church, and God is continually telling us you need to make more room. So sometimes we have a tough time keeping up with that pace. So thank you just for your grace and your patience this morning as you're crammed in tight and as the parking was tight. And if you're in the overflow right now, thank you for being in the overflow area. We appreciate you. These people all appreciate you. And there's extra mints for you. Just go raid the coffee bar. Take all the mints. You get all the mints this morning. We're excited here to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And today is a big deal. You are a big deal. And I know that may make you uncomfortable, me saying that, because you don't feel like a big deal and you don't think you deserve to be a good big deal. And you're probably thinking like, Josh, if you knew who I was, maybe it's... Now, I know it's uncomfortable. Ryan, our campus pastor up at our Tremont location, is always busting on me. And anytime I do some little things, he goes, well, that's because you're kind of a big deal, making fun. It's uncomfortable. But you need to know one thing this morning. Resurrection is for you, a gift for you, because God thinks you are a big deal. Now, there's this woman who... her name was Mary, and Mary was this woman who we're going to talk about in a little bit. I want to read her passage. She comes into this resurrection morning distracted, hurt, broken. In fact, when she had first met Jesus, she was a mess. Like, mess is an understatement, like completely broken. Life was full of chaos and pain, full of distraction and hurt. In fact, Jesus met her, and he had cast 7 demons out of her and freed her. And after he had freed her, she followed like closely, like she was close to Jesus. In fact, at the cross on Good Friday, when everybody deserted Jesus and all the disciples that had been following him kind of like headed for the hills and escaped in fear, Mary Magdalene was one of those who just, she stayed close. You know, like when you have somebody you love who is going through something, and you don't know what to say or you don't know what to do, so you just kind of like are close. You want to be close. And everybody ran away, even though she was watching this horrific scene break out to this Jesus that she loved, watching him go through horrific things. She was there. She was there at the cross. She was there watching him be flogged. She was there the entire time, Mary Magdalene. And I want to talk to you today briefly about her experience on Resurrection Sunday. It's a profound one. It says this in John chapter 20 and verse 11. Actually, before I get to that, you got to know that Mary was the one who showed up at the tomb like early. It was still dark out, and she was hurting and grieving, and she went there to just be close to Jesus again and maybe prepare his body with some ritual-like scents and things. So she shows up at the tomb, and she realizes that the stone has been rolled away. And her confusion and her shock and her pain, she just went running like we would all go running. And she found the disciples, and she says, you're not going to believe this. The tomb has been rolled away. The disciples, for another sermon at another time, some other Easter, some other day, they go running back, and they have this incredible experience themselves at the empty tomb. But we pick up Mary's story again in verse 11. Just listen to these words. They're more important than any words that I could say to you today. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." That's it. Just her name, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. You have this woman. It's raining right now. It's raining right now. I'll preach long enough that it stops. Does that work for everybody? We'll just pack the 11th service in the aisles. You have this woman who is just broken again. Jesus had freed her. Now she's broken again. And she is searching for something. She probably can't even put her finger on what she's searching for. Kind of like some of you, you're searching for something in relationships and new jobs all over the place and all these kind of things that we chase around. And we don't even know what really it is that our heart is looking for, what really it is that we need. And here she is in this place of endings by this tomb. It's probably a dark and rainy scene. Looking for something, not really knowing what it is, just wanting to be close to Jesus. She is broken and she is in deep grief. Looking for something in a place you can't find it, seemingly. And then missing something, the beginning of something new, even when it's right there in front of her. She's hurting, she's broken, she's grieving, and this clouds her entire understanding, her entire view of what is happening. The angels don't register to her. Jesus doesn't register to her. Sometimes the most important things can be right in front of you, but still out of grasp because we are just clouded by the hurt and the pain and the anger and our past and all of the heavy stuff, all of the heavy stuff that you carry into this room today. That you carry around with you, that keeps you up at night, that has you waking up stressed and anxious or depressed in the morning. Like she can't see through any of that. And right here in front of her is something absolutely incredible. Jesus breaks the tension with these questions. Two very good, very caring, important questions like, why are you crying and what are you looking for? I love that God continually interrupts our grief and our pain and our brokenness with questions, drawing our attention off of our circumstances and back onto himself. And I wonder if you're here and you're distracted or you've been apathetic or if you've been hurting or if you've been grieving or if anxiety has been taking over your life or you've been buried in fear or you just can't seem to see any hope. Any hope. I wonder if his voice is breaking through that noise even now, asking you a question. Like, what is breaking your heart? What are you looking for? Just God interrupting, trying to show you who he is and draw you to himself. She is so banged up that she can't hear it. Her mind goes right to the worst case scenario. That's what happens when you are, believe me, I know I have lived with anxiety and all of this stuff. You keep thinking that it's going to get worse. Like, oh yeah, something bad's gonna happen. It's bad stuff's been happening. She's looking for more bad news around the corner. The gardener must have stolen Jesus. Maybe I can get him back. And then Jesus says one word, Mary. One word, a name. One word, your name. He's calling your name today. Through all of the pain, through all of the distraction, through all of the hurt, this is personal. And I don't know if it can rain any harder. I don't know what you've been carrying. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you think of church or why you are here. But can we just say on this Resurrection Sunday that the Son of God, that God himself on earth, made heaven wait to have a personal encounter with someone who was broken, and that this God called her by name. This is a big deal. Heaven can wait for you. God puts everything on hold for you. He wants your attention. And he knows your name and he calls it. This is a big deal, and you are a big deal to God. And if you were the only person on this planet, we would still be celebrating Good Friday. Well, you would by yourself. But still, you get the idea. He would have died for you. And he would have risen for you. And you have this like beautiful pause in all of the chaos of the life and all this scene. You got disciples running all over the place, and Roman guards are freaking out, and the system is going nuts because this tomb is empty. And during all of this chaos and all of this mess, here Jesus stands face to face with an individual, with one person. You are a big deal to God. I don't know. You don't know me and all this stuff, and I'm not churchy enough. This isn't about church. It's not about playing religious games. This isn't about checking off some stuff on some morality list so you look like a good Christian. This isn't about why you came here this morning. I know your mom drugged some of you. It's not about any. This is about your soul. A God who is pursuing your soul, your broken soul. A God who wants to forgive and mend your soul and do something new, something better in your life than you could have imagined. This is personal. This is intimate. This is deep. Resurrection, it means so many things. What we celebrate this morning, it means that there is nothing that is impossible for God. It means there is no such thing as too far gone or too broken. It means that there is no sin that you could have hidden in your past that he couldn't forgive. It means that there is no place you can go to hide from this God who is continuing to pursue you. It means that brokenness will not be the end of your story. It means that the curse has been defeated. It means that death is not the end. It means that you have victory available for you. Resurrection changes absolutely everything. Without this, Christmas is just a birthday of some kid. With this, the entire planet and everything we have known, the universe, turns on its head, and we realize that you are a person with a soul, and that that soul is what defines you, and that that soul is eternal. That soul needs healing. Because that soul will go on forever. Resurrection changes everything. Brokenness is not the end of your story. Your anxiety is not the end of the story. Your depression is not the end of your story. Your loneliness is not the end of your story. Your health issues are not the end of the story. Your financial desperation is not the end of your story. Whatever pain you carry on this earth is not the end of the story. Resurrection means that one day God will wipe every tear from your eye. He will make you new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and you will reside there through faith in Christ. There will be no more weeping and no more pain and no more death and no more of the brokenness that we brought into this world or the brokenness that we have experienced from this world. All things will be made new. Resurrection is a big deal. Changes everything. Right here at an empty tomb, everything changed. And right here at an empty tomb, everything starts again. The worship team is going to come out. I just want to wrap this with this. Like, how do you start again? What does that even mean? This God came and died for me, and I get that. I've known that as like an abstract idea or theological thought for some time. I've never really experienced it. What does it actually mean if Christ died for me and was buried for me, went to hell and stole the keys for me, and came back to life for me so that I could have hope and know that this isn't the end of my story, that there's something better coming? What does that mean to start again? How do I experience that? And some of you are desperate. Experience it. You've been carrying around the weight of this broken world for far too long. You want hope. You see people with hope, and you just want to know how you can have it. And it's by starting again today, right now. Some of you for the first time, and some of you again and again and again. And here's the thing about starting new Resurrection Sunday with God. There's not a lot required of you. You don't gotta commit to come to church. You don't have to get your life together morally. You don't have to pick yourself up by the bootstraps or commit to being a better person. I'm gonna do this right. I'll prove it to you, God, that I can, that I'm worth forgiving, that I'm worth dying for, that I'm worth. That's none of it. You see, the thing about the cross is that God, Jesus, the cross and empty tomb, Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He did all the work. All we have to do is what Mary did. That's it. Just turn toward Him. Scripture says it like this in Romans 10. Says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died and rose again, that He is Lord, that He is who He says He is and has done what He says He did. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. It's not complicated. God is not requiring you to jump through a bunch of religious hoops. He's just calling your name and asking you to turn from the brokenness, from the sin, from all the ways we've missed the mark, back to Him. Listen, I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes in silent prayer for a second. It's not going to get weird. I'm just asking you to do this because I want you to, like, not look at me or the stage or all the distractions that are around us. Just focus on Jesus for 1 second today. He died for you. He rose for you. Do you see the tomb is empty? They keep trying to fill it. There's nobody there. We don't follow some figment in history. We follow a living God who is actively pursuing you, who knows your name, who's saying it out loud right now. Maybe some of you need to start again. Maybe you've never started before. Maybe you need to start again. Here's a good prayer to pray in the quietness of your heart. God, I thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me so that I could be forgiven of my sins. I need you. I ask you for forgiveness. God, I thank you that that son died, defeated death, crushed the devil's head, stole the keys of hell, and rose again so that I could have life, eternal life with you, and new life here on earth. Like it says in Romans, I believe in my heart, and right now I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, and I give you my heart. And if you have prayed that prayer, God is faithful and just, and he gives you his spirit, and he calls you his child, and he welcomes you into his family, and you have the promise of him and eternity in heaven forever. And it isn't based on what you do or if you're good enough when you get there. It's based on the fact that now Christ has covered you with his death and his resurrection, and you are sealed with this new hope. And if you have prayed that in your heart, I just want to say, like, that is the best decision you could ever make. God, we thank you so much that this is a celebration this morning, that our story doesn't end with death. Your story didn't end with the cross. It ends with resurrection. That you give us new life and new hope, and you call us to something greater. We're so thankful for those who have professed faith in you this morning, and for those of us that have been wandering and distracted or apathetic or bitter, angry, all the things that distract us and take over our lives. We just thank you for the freedom that your cross and the empty tomb provide, for what you've done, provide for us. Would you help us to just live in that freedom, to start fresh, new again today? You have taken our sins and you place them as far as the east is from the west. You will wipe every tear. You will make everything new, and we give you praise and we honor you for that. You are far better than we ever could have imagined. You are a good, good God who is good to his children. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on in this life, but we cling to the promise that resurrection shouts in our ears, that we will have you and be with you for all of eternity. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.